In other news here this morning, an old scam is making a comeback. The Cass County Sheriff's Office is making the public aware of a scam that is currently going on around and in our area. And the scam involves a person who, in most cases, calls claiming to be a grandchild of another or another relative. The individual claims that they are in jail and need money. The Sheriff's Office encourages anyone receiving a call of that nature to be extremely suspicious and to ask questions of the caller that only your grandchild or other relative would know the answers to. In addition, before offering any financial help or information, you should attempt to contact your grandchild or other relative yourself to verify the story being told to you. You may recall, a year or so ago, we told you an area resident received a similar call from a person claiming to be a man's grandson who was in jail in Canada. When the resident asked the caller a question only his grandson could answer, the person on the other end of the phone became upset and eventually hung up. The man later called his grandson to confirm that he was not in trouble with the law. Officials with Syngest Incorporated say that the Honeywell Corporation has been selected to help the California-based company design a proposed first-of-its-kind processing facility in southwest Iowa that will produce ammonia from biomass. The plant will process as much as 400 tons of biomass each day to produce nitrogen fertilizer, which helps reduce fossil fuel emissions and will also be sold to U.S. agricultural companies and farms. Honeywell Process Solutions has agreed to provide front-end engineering support and a wide range of technology that will comprise the plant's fully integrated control system, process simulators, and field instrumentation. Additionally, the proposed facility will use pressure swing absorption technology developed by Honeywell to purify hydrogen used in the plant's processes. Syngest CEO Jack Oswald says Honeywell's unparalleled skills in renewable fuels and bioproducts and special expertise in automated process design and controls will add enormous value to Syngest's commercial scale projects once implemented. Syngest's Menlo facility will be the first carbon-negative bioproduct project of its kind in the world and will reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 150%. The project will eventually create 360 skilled construction jobs and 40 full-time employees. Purchasing transportation of the biomass and sales of ammonia and support services will add $10 million of new income to nearby communities. A company that operates long-term care facilities is selling 9 centers in Nebraska and Iowa, including the Beatrice Manor. Beatrice radio station KWBE said Tuesday that Carriage Management LLC of Sioux City has reached an agreement to sell the facilities to the Ensign Group, which operates 87 skilled nursing, assisted living, home health, and hospice services in 8 western states. Beatrice Manor is an 87-bed facility and employs nearly 100 people. The other Nebraska centers being acquired are in Falls City, Randolph, and Wayne. The Iowa facilities are in Fort Dodge, Clarion, Haywarden, and West Bend and Cherokee. Dan Myers, the president and CEO of Carriage, says the new company plans to retain current employees. The sale is expected to close on July the 1st. The Iowa Fire Marshal's Office says it has investigated 2 fires in western Iowa, including a fatal blaze. The first fire was reported on Saturday night in Fontenelle. Firefighters found 2 people lying on the ground outside their mobile home. Both were flown to a burn unit in Iowa City. Fire Marshal's Office says 60-year-old Howard Berger died there, and 63-year-old Susan Davis remains in critical condition. An autopsy is scheduled. The fire was blamed on carelessly discarded smoking materials. The second fire was reported early Tuesday in Carter Lake. Police entered the mobile home and rescued 74-year-old Donna Thomas, who is being treated at a burn unit in Lincoln, Nebraska. The fire was blamed on an electrical short. There was no working smoke detector in either home. The Dallas County supervisors want more information before approving an ordinance that would outlaw public nudity. The Des Moines Register says the board discussed a proposal at its meeting on Tuesday. Supervisors asked staffers to gather information about how other communities handle such problems. Officials say they've gotten complaints about nude tubers and sunbathers along the Raccoon River for years. Sheriff Chad Leonard backs the idea of a new ordinance, saying it would just be nice to have a tool to use because we do get criticized. Some Dallas County cities prohibit public nudity, but the county doesn't have an ordinance for unincorporated areas. Officials say state laws on indecent exposure don't cover the situation because authorities must prove a person's intent was to sexually gratify himself or herself or another person. Flooding along the Missouri River in the Omaha area is forcing Amtrak to disrupt its California Zephyr passenger train, which travels between San Francisco and Chicago. Amtrak says Tuesday that service will be temporarily suspended between Denver and Chicago for at least 6 days because of predicted flood crest and additional closures of Burlington Northern Santa Fe tracks in the Omaha area. Amtrak says in a statement that the suspension of service is effective with an eastbound train on Thursday from Emeryville, California, and a westbound train on Friday from Chicago. The disruption is expected to continue through at least June 14th. There will be no Amtrak service in Iowa except in Fort Madison, and Nebraska, and in Fort Morgan, Colorado. Daily service will continue between Chicago and Galesburg, Illinois. State transportation officials say Interstate 29 in western Iowa is in the path of the rising Missouri River, and parts could be closed within days. The Department of Transportation on Tuesday released an initial assessment of the state and federal highways at most at risk. It includes I-29, US 275, and Iowa 333 in Hamburg, where a massive sandbagging operation is underway to protect the town. Other parts of I-29 are on the list, including north of Council Bluffs, near Crescent, and near Loveland. A section of Interstate 680 in Council Bluffs is also at risk, and officials have also included Highway 2 in Fremont County and State Highway 127 near Mont Damon in Harrison County. The DOT says it updates the list as the river rises. Plenty of rumors are floating about the looming flooding in Council Bluffs, and the city is taking steps to separate truth from fiction. Art Hill, a spokesman for Council Bluffs, says they're launching a 24/7 flooding hotline so people can get answers to any questions they may have right away.
We are establishing an information line. It'll always be staffed by a person to relate information they've been hearing and whether or not it's correct.
He says the city is also updating its website constantly with the latest flood data. Hill urges Council Bluffs residents and business owners to register on the city's Code Red notification system.
If geographically your home or your business is in a location that might be impacted in some way, you'll get either a phone call or a text telling you about it.
Hill says officials want to make sure all residents with special needs get help in case there is an evacuation due to the flooding or some other emergency.
Whether it's because of limited mobility or age, that they register with the city in the event of an evacuation, we'd have the information.
The information line is 712-328-4672, and the website is councilbluffs-ia.gov. Officials are beginning to collect college data on students who earned community college credits while in high school. The education officials want to find out how well prepared those students are for moving on to college. The state says more than 38,000 high school students took classes last year for credit through community colleges, accounting for more than 25% of the enrollment at the state's community colleges. The Des Moines Register is reporting that the state hasn't tracked passing and failing rates. Officials don't know whether the courses were as tough as those offered at four-year colleges. And taking a look here at world headlines here at this hour, Pakistani intelligence officials say a pair of U.S. missile strikes killed 23 suspected Islamist militants today in a tribal region near the Afghan border. One strike hit an alleged insurgent training facility, killing 18 people. The other strike hit a vehicle carrying 5 people. Even though the U.S. has spent $18.8 billion to help stabilize and build up Afghanistan, a new report says that country could fall into financial crisis when foreign troops leave in 2014. The report came from Senate Democrats in advance of today's appearance on Capitol Hill by President Barack Obama's choice to serve as U.S. Ambassador to Afghanistan, Ryan Crocker. Crews have been working overnight to ignite unburned areas of grass and other fuel, hoping it'll help stop the spread of a mammoth forest fire that is threatening two eastern Arizona towns. Cars, trucks, and trailers loaded with belongings have been streaming out of the town of Eger, where about half of the 4,000 residents have left. Stocks are opening mixed a day after they achieved a longest losing streak since August. Oil prices spiked after an unexpected decision by oil ministers that at an OPEC meeting to keep output at current levels. Investors had been hoping the cartel would increase output to help bring down the price of crude. The storm has brought down a tree in central Ohio that's believed to have been there since before Christopher Columbus's arrival in the New World in 1492. The more than five-century-old white oak tree came crashing down yesterday outside a senior center in Lancaster. No one was hurt, but three of the building's windows were broken. And now taking a look at your funeral announcements. L. Darlene Adair, age 85, of Panora, died Friday at the Lakeside Village in Panora. Funeral services for Darlene Adair will be held at 10 a.m. today at the Tweak Funeral Home in Panora. Eugene A. Jean Kading, age 89, of Stewart, died Sunday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for Jean Kading will be held at 10 a.m. today at the Stewart Congregational Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Bonnie L. Sharon, age 66, of Guthrie Center, died Friday at the Guthrie County Hospital in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Bonnie Sharon will be held at 2 p.m. today at the Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center. Marjorie Maxine Schaff, age 88, of Kearney, Nebraska, died Thursday at the St. Luke's Good Samaritan Village. Funeral services for Marjorie Schaff will be held at 10:30 a.m. on Thursday at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Earl Weinheimer, age 77, of Fontenelle, died Saturday in Greenfield. Funeral services for Earl Weinheimer will be held at 10:30 a.m. on Thursday at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Dudley Hyman, age 65, of Harlan, died Sunday at his home. Funeral services for Dudley Hyman will be held at 10:30 a.m. on Thursday at the Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in Omaha. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Merlin L. Merritt, age 78, of Griswold, died Monday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Funeral services for Merlin Merritt will be held on Thursday at 1:30 p.m. at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Alfred Jacob Egger, age 86, of Stewart, formerly of Casey, died Tuesday at the Adair County Memorial Hospital in Greenfield. Funeral services for Alfred Egger will be held on Friday beginning at 10:30 a.m. at the Casey United Methodist Church in Casey. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Francis M. Johnston, age 84, of Fort Dodge, died Tuesday at his home in Fort Dodge. Funeral services for Francis Johnston will be held at 11 a.m. on Friday at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. And Catherine Mater, age 73, of Littleton, Colorado, formerly of Irwin, died Monday in Littleton. Funeral services for Catherine Mater will be held 10:30 a.m. on Saturday at the St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Irwin. The OD Funeral Home in Manila has the arrangements. That's a look at your latest news and funeral announcements this 9 o'clock hour here on KJN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.